Hello? Durbanville PM. Great. Brent, do we have the projector going again? So we're good. Okay, cool. 100%. Fantastic. So it's great just to bring the word. I haven't done this for quite some time. I'm either scheduled and then something happens or we've got to make some shifts or it just didn't work out. So it's actually lucky to bring the word again. Feel somewhat uncomfortable. It's like in the last, I think, 9 months, this is the third time, I think, where it used to be a lot, you know? So it's actually just quite weird. Just a keen sense that God wants to prepare us for what he's busy doing. We're working through the Escaping Babylon series. I know all of us are watching this and working through that. And there's this clear emphasis of the scheme of the enemy, the spirit behind Babylon, and how it's infiltrating the world and affecting the church. And just watching that, it's like I can see it. But the question is, what do the church do in a situation like that? We can't just be reactional. I believe God wants us to be on the offensive. Even in working with people and sitting and working through issues people face, I realized a lot of those things could actually have been avoided. So now we're fighting against and trying to push back the enemy, where we could actually have just taken a stand, you know, and resisted. Scripture speaks about having done all to stand. And I really felt this morning the message would be encouragement for us to stand, to go on the offensive. I think it's important to be aware of the schemes of the enemy, but how much more the plans or the strategy of God, you know? I think that's so much more important. So as an elder in the church, as someone that preached the word of God, my aim, my heart's desire is to see us walk in everything that God has for us, that we'll be confident in our God, that we'll be skillful with the truth, that we'll know the truth, that there'll be a sense of hunger in our hearts, that we'll come to a measure of wholeness and be effective and fruitful. So anyone here that wants to be ineffective? Okay, no one. That caught me by surprise. No. Anyone that wants to be unfruitful? Everyone wants to be effective. Everyone wants to be fruitful. If you're a Christian, if you're in the church, that would be a heart's desires. I want to be effective. I want to count. And I want to grow in God. I want to be fruitful. I just want to pass by. And so that was part of my wrestling, just listening to the Babylon series, working through that personally. And then just looking at my own life, in a couple of weeks' time, I'm not sure if many of you are aware, but the British and Irish Lions, you were aware. Uh-huh. Okay, so got some rugby supporters here. And I looked at the team and the British and Irish Lions team, and you see the picks they've made, and you can somewhat identify their strategy. And yesterday they announced the Springbok squad. Not looking too bad. Quite excited about it. And you hear the coaches speak. And you hear Coach Jock and Rusty speak about the strategy and getting the guys together. And they're speaking about aligning the guys. Some couple of weeks where they're just going to align the team according to the strategy, because they're going to face the Lions team. And earlier on, they spoke about these alignment camps. And what they did at the alignment camps was basically to take stock of where we're at. You know, we won the World Cup. Now it's almost 2 years. We haven't played rugby. So we're not going to be exactly there where we were. So what has happened? Where are we at now? And what do we need to do in the coming weeks and months to be victorious over those opponents? And so I thought of that. The Lord somehow just revealed something of that for me, that I've got to make some alignment. I've got to, in a sense, align my heart. Take stock of areas that where I maybe have drifted and start to align my heart. And so processing this, I realized just on this thing of being effective and fruitful, I was just looking at my own life and thinking, yeah, you know, am I really effective? Am I really fruitful? And I had to look at some serious things in my life and realize, you know, I'm not as effective and fruitful as I want to be. And why am I not? Because I want to be. You know, since there's a difference between actual desire and what actually is happening in your life. And so I was like, you know, this is desire, but why am I not seeing what I am desiring? And I felt the Lord just revealed this to me in two passages of Scripture. And it comes down to I'm forgetting. forgetfulness. I think that's probably one of our biggest enemies, more than our flesh and the devil, is forgetfulness. We humans, we forget. And I realize anyone here desire to reach out and see people get saved? Anyone here with a desire of that? Any of you effective in that? That raised your hands. It's the what did I see? Hand. I thought I saw a hand there. A time frame. But I realize it's not that we lack desire. It's that we forget. Because there's all these voices, you know, and all the different things that we're facing, trying to sort out our kids, trying to, you know, do our job well so that we've got money to pay our rent. And it's just life. And somehow we forget. And I felt the Lord wanted to encourage us this morning to remember. To remember. Because one of the biggest things is we forget. And the Lord took me to a passage of scripture in Nehemiah where they were facing opposition and an onslaught. And they're busy building this wall. And as they're faced with this opposition, they're like, hey, we've got to finish the work. Yes, people. And they started to lose focus. And Nehemiah says, get back working and remember your God who's great and awesome. And there's something as we're facing with all this onslaught, knowing that there's a spirit behind this age, just busyness of life. Let's remember our God is great and awesome. And I started to work through this. The Lord took me into a passage in 2 Peter that we're going to work through in a short while. And I just started looking at this thing of remembering. The obviously, remembering means to be reminded of something. But I looked at the word and it almost, there's two distinct parts of the word. It's re, to bring back again, and member, to put together something. And it's almost like remembering is to put back together a truth in your mind or a reality in your memory, to put it back together so that it can shape the way you live. And just working through this aspect of remembering, I saw throughout Scripture, it's such a big component. God says, I'll remember my covenant. You look through the Scriptures in the Old Testament, and many times God tells Israelites to put Scriptures on the door frames or put it on their foreheads. Why? Because we forget. We're humans. One of the constant things is we forget. And God's speaking to Israel to remember. While they were in the wilderness and just walking around for 40 years, every time God did something amazing, God instructed them to put up a monument. So that while they're wondering and they're like, oh, we've been here before, deja vu. But there's something different. What is these pieces of stone? Oh, yeah, God did this for us. So while we're in the days of the normality and just wandering around, oh, God did this, and faith would come. And so you see that in the Scriptures. You see under Gideon, the Israelites conquer, and they're victorious, and they're a place of prosperity, and things are going good. And Scripture says, because they forgot what God has done, they drifted, and they served idols. And you see Israelites in this place of victory. And the reason why I'm mentioning this is that some of you are sitting here and you're thinking, life is good, you know. I'm not faced with opposition or going through difficulty where I need to remember great, our God is great and awesome. Things are actually going well. More than ever, you need to be reminded of God's goodness and about the truth. Because when you start forgetting, it's when you start drifting. Then you look at the New Testament. We've got communion where Scripture says, do this in remembrance. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. You look at Paul, and so many times in his letters, he says, I want to remind you. Or he writes to Timothy, remember to fan into flame. And there's this constant language of remember. Remind yourself. God says, I remember my covenant. And I thought, wow, this is quite interesting. It's quite a key theme throughout Scripture. Why? Because we forget. I think most of us would be setting a lot of reminders. I know some people personally, and I know reminders are a big part of your life. Why? Because you set reminders out of fear, no? Anniversary. Because you know, if you forget that thing, it's mulekait. Bin day. Oh. In winter, you can still live with skipping bin day. But in the summer, yeah, you don't want to forget bin day, you know? It's like you put reminders there out of fear. Or sometimes you put reminders there out of a desire, you know? I want to train. I want to get fit, you know? Put a reminder there. I want to get fit and healthy. Or you use Facebook and you post it like Christopher every single day. But you wanna put down reminders because there's a desire for something. You know, I want to watch a TV show. Let me put a reminder there because I want to see that. And so there's either fear, it's desire. Other times you put the reminders because you want to be effective in something. So you're like, I must remember this because I want to be effective in a certain area. My work, let me remind myself of certain things. I've got a to-do list, which is reminders. Why do we have a to-do list? Because we forget. And as I walk with people and as I hear about situations, I'm thinking, our spiritual reminders are quite few. There's very little spiritual to-do lists. And many times we find ourselves in a mess that probably could have been avoided if we just reminded ourselves of the truth. If we just reminded ourselves of who our God is. If we just reminded ourselves to drink deep of the Holy Spirit. The scripture says, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes we lack, our lamps are dead, there's no oil, because we've forgotten to drink, which is normal for human beings. But if it's a normal thing, shouldn't we have something to address that? And if we look in scripture, God encourages his people to write stuff on doorposts, put it on your foreheads. Paul writes, be reminded. And my encouragement to us is that we go on the offensive and we put things in place to help remind us. And I'm going to run quickly through a passage of scripture to show us that. I believe it's a tool that God has given us to remember. I was building a bed for my son recently, somewhere to the end of last year. And just putting this bed together, it was quite great to have some proper tools to do this woodwork little exercise. And I realized without some of these tools, this bed would have not taken shape. It actually took quite nice shape and, you know, I was quite effective. But without the wrong tools, it wouldn't have taken shape. And we need to apply the right tools in order to get the right result. And I believe reminding ourselves often is going to be a great tool in walking in greater freedom and being effective and fruitful. Reminding ourselves often. I once heard one of the old preachers says, one of the lost things that the church has is the ability to preach to themselves, to preach to ourselves. And we need that. We need that. I want to remind us to remember. Preach to yourself. Remind yourself of the truth. Remind yourself of who God is. We're busy doing the marriage course, Azaldi and I. So initially we said, you know, it's like our marriage is at a very good space at the moment. So should we do it? Okay, we want to walk with people, so let's do the marriage course in order to help others. So let's go for it, and we could benefit while we do it. So win-win. Let's do it. Man, have I realized how much reminding I need just in the aspect of marriage. I've done marriage courses. I've done pre-marriage course. I've presented marriage teachings. I've presented pre-marriage stuff, and I still need reminders. And the most amazing thing as you work through some of that stuff and now you're reminded of it. I think every marriage would be so healthy if you do a 5-minute marriage course every single day of your life. I don't know, some of the guys that's doing the marriage course, I remember they did conflict this week. So John's told me that their groups, told them each go to your own room. Because he just anticipated, you know, these discussions on conflict would probably result in some serious conflict. Yeah. No, it's like, it was funny. It's like I preempted our guys and said, this one is going to get lovely. This one is going to get wild. But what, you know what's happening with our marriage? Now that you've done something and you've learned some tools and been reminded of some obvious tools that you've forgotten because we forget. Now you find yourself in a situation where you probably would have had a big mess to clean up. But now suddenly you just, whoa, hold on. Because it's fresh in your memory. It's like, let me rather listen. than give advice here, you know, or let me not solve this problem, which is obvious, but let me just listen. Oh, suddenly things are much better. You know, there's not a, we're not arguing 4 hours later because of a situation that could have been avoided. And I've seen the just in our marriage, how helpful it is to be reminded of simple things that we actually know. That just, we've forgotten. And I'll probably forget some of these things again. Because it's human nature. But in order for me, I need to resolve in my heart. I want this marriage to be fruitful and healthy. Therefore, I would need to apply myself to certain things in order to see that healthy and fruitful. Because I'm going to forget. So the more I can remind myself of these simple truths, the better we'll do in our marriage. And it's the same with our relationship with our King and our relationship with one another. You know, offenses in church, what is that? It's human beings forgetting to forgive. That's essentially what it is. You being at a bad place in your walk with God, it's simply that you've forgotten to stay close to Him, to draw from Him. And because you've forgotten, you've drifted. We need to remind ourselves. Let's quickly work through a passage of Scripture, quickly. Just to show some of these things that we've touched on already. So let's jump to verse 12. So we're going to work through 2 Peter from verse 3 to verse 15. Just going to jump up and down between it. I want to encourage you to read the book of 2 Peter. Just remind yourself of some very obvious things in your walk with God. It's 3 chapters and it's definitely doable. Recently, I felt the Lord just show. I like to, when I do the washing, we've got this 15 minutes sitting on our washing machine. And when we got it, I'm like, yes, I love this. Because if I need to do the washing, I can throw it in and I can still go hang it up before I forget that I had washing in the washing machine. Because 15 minutes is not that long. So that's my go-to, you know. It's like, oh, boom, 15 minutes. And it's like, while you're still busy with some stuff, and you hear the little the melody and you go and you hang it up. And it's like, I love that sitting. But I realize it's not as effective because it doesn't, you know, it's nice for a quick wash. But on the long run, you sometimes need that proper setting just to do a proper wash of the clothing. Because all the stains and some of the stains don't come out. And I felt the Lord said that many of us are walking like that when it comes to Scripture. We like a quick 15-minute cycle, you know. It's like, boom, there's my Scripture. I'm feeling ready for the day. But we need a good deep wash every now and then, when we're in the Word and we just allow the Word to wash us and to cleanse us and to remind us of some of the truths that can help avoid unnecessary obstacles. Reminding ourselves of truth would help us to discern when the spirit of this age are actually getting comfortable in our lives and our households, and we can resist it and fight it. So I want to encourage you, work through this book, maybe in the coming week. Read it. It will be a good deep wash and remind you of some things. But let's look at verse 12. It says, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you know. So here Peter is writing and he says, I want to remind you, familiar word this morning. I want to remind you of these things, even though you know them. So he's emphasizing the fact here that some of the things he wants to remind them of is actually things they know. But it's vital that they are reminded of them because we forget. And while we're on this earth, we're not whole yet. We're not complete yet. So we need to wage war. We need to declare war on the spirit of this age. We need to declare war on our flesh. And we need to be on the offensive. So he carries on and he says, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in this tent of this body. So he's saying, look, because I know that I will soon be put aside as our Lord Jesus has made it clear to me. So he's saying, look, you know, soon I'm going to not be here. So I want to write some last thoughts to you. And what I want to do is I just want to remind you of some of the stuff you do know. Because he knows if they apply these things, and he's away, it will go well with him. Okay, so yes, Peter. So now I jump to verse, quickly go to verse 12 again. He says, so I always remind you of these things. So what are these things? Let's go to verse 3 and see what are these things. He first starts off in verse 3 of a promise. So he reminds them and say, these things, one of the first thing is this promise. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him, who's called us by his own glory and his goodness. So he's saying, look, by grace you've been saved. And because of the complete work that Jesus has done, we need everything. He's given us everything that we need. We've got no excuse. You know? He's given us everything to live a life of godliness. Through these, he's given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in this world caused by evil desires. Isn't that powerful? So he says, look, in Christ, you've got everything you need to face life in this day and age. There's no excuses. And it's Jesus that has done everything. And as Christians, as believers, we've got access to this. So he starts off with a promise. And then he says, now I want to remind you of 7 things that you need to add to your faith. So Jesus has done all of this. You have this promise in Christ. Now you need to be reminded of 7 things that you've got to add to this. Practical things that you've got to do. That you've got to do. I realize that in order for us to walk in freedom, in order for us to walk in victory, we can't just be reminded of promises, but we also need to be reminded of the things that we need to do in order to get there. Because there's some stuff that we need to do in order to... When we sit with the fences here in church, Christ has forgiven us. That's a truth. That's a promise. And there's forgiveness for us. But you still need to let go. You still need to release that person. Otherwise, you will not walk in that freedom. So here's some practical things that he wants to remind them of that they need to do. And I would have loved to pack them out now this morning, but I don't feel that's what the Lord wants to do. So I want to encourage you to go work through them. But he reminds them of 7 things that they can do. Oh, they need to add to their faith. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. And so that word goodness, in some scriptures it speaks about virtue. And it's the same root word as when that lady with the issue of blood, when she pushed through the crowd and she touched Jesus. And Jesus said, who touched me? Virtue, holy power went through me. That's the same root word they use there. So that goodness reveals something of the glory of God. It's a holy determination. Another scripture, another translation actually uses the word determination, but refers to the root word there refers to a divine and a holy energy or power. So essentially, add to your faith divine energy. Add to your faith a divine resolution, a divine determination that I'm going to serve God no matter what. And to goodness, so it refers to the glory aspect of God, the divine energy power of God. Add to that knowledge, the know-how. Add to it the know-how of what the scripture says and how to apply it. We do have a responsibility, each one individually. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Each of us has a responsibility to know what's in scripture and know how to apply it. We can't be slack anymore. We can't not know anymore, because then we'll drift and we'll be deceived by the cunning schemes of the enemy. We've got to equip ourselves to know what the truth is and how to apply it. So add to your faith knowledge. Add to your knowledge self-control. Self-control. It's an interesting thing that a lot of these things that he mentions are actually fruit of the Spirit. And so although we are required to do things, we don't have to do it in our own strength. By relying on the Holy Spirit, by being in His presence, by practically praying in tongues, and having communion with the Holy Spirit, these things will be cultivated in us. But we need to apply them. I've sat with people, and it's either their marriage is in a bad place, or an individual struggling with certain things. And I read through this, and I'm thinking, wow, if they actually apply these things, We won't have to sit here and speak about their problem or their situation. We actually can spend that energy speaking about what we can do to change this community. We can speak about things, how we can make this congregation more like the one Jesus is dreaming of. I recently was in a conversation where we met Lizaldi's half-sister. So at Mother's Day, she testified that she hasn't seen her for some time, or actually didn't know, didn't have any contact. And a couple of years ago, they made contact for the first time. And this was the first time that we were going to meet her husband. So quite excited, you know, this half-sister of Lizaldi that we didn't spend a lot of time with, and going to meet the husband. So it was quite an occasion, you know, going to the coffee shop. And I was so blown away by this couple. I enjoyed every minute of this conversation. They saved, they're community leaders. And just sitting with them, I was like, I want to go and preach the gospel. I want to now go and just run through a wall for God. And they were, the one was an introvert and the other one was an extrovert. The one was all over the show and the other one was clear. I'm thinking, they're normal people. But there's something of what they're thinking of, what their mind is consumed with, that is inspiring to me. The following week, I had quite a busy week seeing people. And at the end of the week, I'm like, oh, this week just drained every bit of life out of me. And I'm pondering why. And I realized that it was just on issues. It was just on difficulties and challenges. And I don't know, it's real. It's we face these things and we've got to process this. But we've got to go beyond that point. And I realized applying some of these things in some of those situations was actually sorted it out. We're doing the marriage courses, Ali and I. We're being reminded of some simple things. I realized that, you know, if I don't apply some of those basic things, we're going to have a big mess to clean up. And that energy cleaning up the mess, I could have used somewhere else. And it's the same with our walk with God. And many times we're sitting with issues that could have been avoided by us just applying some things. Just reminding ourselves of certain things. Just putting on our doorpost some truth and seeing it often and applying that. I don't know if, please don't go and paint your doorpost now after this morning. But in some cases, it actually might mean that you practically need to put scriptures on the mirror because that's where you spend a lot of time. or you need to put it there on your garage door, or at the tools, or at the fridge, or in front of the TV, or in front of the books where you read for your children, the bookshelf, the steering wheel, where you're traveling your kids around. And it might mean that we practically need to put some things there to remind us, because if we apply it, we can avoid some serious messes, and we can actually use our energy trying to react to a pitfall we fell for that the enemy put in front of us, and rather use that energy to go on the offensive. Add to self-control, perseverance. Perseverance is key, eh? It's what produces a sense of godly character and hope. Scripture says, through hardships, hardships, suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. We need to push through. I would love to unpack this and just tackle each one. Perseverance, add to that godliness. It's a sense of being aware of God. It's a God consciousness, godliness. Scripture in Psalm 16 verse 8 says, I set the Lord in front of me. And it's something of that. It's having a God consciousness. To godliness, add brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, and add to brotherly kindness, love. It's interesting that the ends with love, you know, it's one of those things. Without love, you're just a clanging cymbal. Brotherly kindness, consider one another higher. Just quickly go back and leave it there. These are seven things. And just for a brief moment, think. It's many of them are fruit of the Holy Spirit. And by applying these, we can actually avoid a lot of difficulties, a lot of issues. Russell, a couple of weeks, spoke about the importance of closing doors, where we actually, God given us breakthrough and victory in a certain area. We now need to close those doors so that we don't go back and live lives where we just go back to those things. In order to close doors, we've got to apply these things. It's not just in a worship moment where we say, God, I'm closing the doors, hallelujah. And now suddenly we're free from that. Now we've got to now apply these things and be reminded to apply them constantly. And that way we'll keep the doors closed. Quickly go on. The next part is loaded. We're just going to read a couple of verses, then we're done. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, if you possess these qualities, those seven things, in increasing measure. Another translation says, if you possess these and increase them, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. Another translation says, ineffective and unfruitful. We said we, quickly stay there, go back. We earlier on said we don't want to be ineffective. We don't want to be unfruitful. Here's a key for us. Let's be reminded of these qualities and grow them, increase them. Carry on. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Many of us have responsibilities at work, at home. We mothers, we fathers, we husbands, we wives, we employees. And what I find is, sometimes for me as well, we live our lives in compartments. You know, Sunday is church day, it's God's day. And then we work, and then we parent. But I believe God wants us to apply the gospel in every aspect of our lives, where we don't forget these things, where we don't forget that we have been cleansed by our sin. We don't have to go and revisit them. We've been cleansed. Let's not forget that. It says that everyone that does not have them is nearsighted and blind. I felt the Lord showed in this passage of Scripture that some of you are blind and that God wants to come and open up your sight. That because of just drifting, and in a sense your heart is backslidden. You're not an unbeliever. You haven't let go of the Lord. But in your heart, you know you've drifted. You know that you've let some of these things go. God just wants to come and clear up your sight this morning. Therefore, my dear brothers, verse 10, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. Isn't that powerful? If you do these things, if you apply these things, you will never fall. Last verse. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Somehow I feel so basic. But if we apply ourselves to this, if we remind ourselves of this, we'll receive a rich welcome. We will not fall. We'll receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom. So that's the encouragement this morning, is remind yourself. Remind yourself. Remind yourself daily. Remind yourself often. Find practical ways to remind yourself. Remind yourself firstly of the truth. If you're in a good space or in a bad space, if that pride can be an ugly thing. But if you remind yourself of truth, of the nature of God, you'll be reminded of humility. Remind yourself of who God is and what He's done. Sometimes it's helpful just to go back and think of some monuments in your own life where you can think of God has done this. I can now face what I'm facing here. And lastly, remind yourself to continually drink of the Holy Spirit, because it's in that place where these things are cultivated. And as you apply them, you don't have to try, but you can apply them from that place of the overflow. Remind yourself of continually drinking. And as we're going to worship now in a brief moment, I want just as we worship God to remind yourself of who God is and what He's done. And even take some time to drink deep this afternoon. Drink deep and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So can we just for a moment close our eyes? The band can come up and you can start playing.